West West, y'all.
Here's Ola. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this!
Welcome into another episode of the 135 Footy Show, proudly part of the Wes Wes Network, one of the podcasts on the network. You can check all our other podcasts out on weswesnet.com. Welcome in our guest straight away, Stacey Tiriani. How's it, bro? Been a while, mate.
Yeah, been a while, boys. Thanks for having me on again, us. And shout out to all our new listeners in Las Vegas. After the success of the NRL last week, they're probably looking for some more content and going through some podcasts. So welcome to all our new listeners out there.
Yeah, nice, Us. And congrats on getting back into the Counter Rock, bro. Good to see you kicked off the season again there. Good to hear you and Joey back on the airways, mate.
Yeah, we got some pre-season previews and some predictions out. So it's good to be back in the swing of things. Super Rugby and NRL. About to go full bore, so busy weekends coming up for us and all the boys in our podcast.
Yeah, nice. And as for this cheeky monkey over here, how's it going? Some of the money. How's it going, bro?
My love, boys. Yeah, good, bro. Yeah, man. Seki, man. My love, Stace.
How's it, brother?
Talofa to listeners out there, bro. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Us.
Nice, Us. Bro, let's get straight into it. Vegas. Yeah, what a spectacle. Awesome to see those two games kick off. Huge stadium, that Allegiant Stadium. I thought it went well, albeit not a full stadium. But your thoughts, Stace, what did you think of the two games, man?
Yeah, really high quality. Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, if you're American and that's sort of your first foray into rugby league, you know, if you watch that sort of first 15 minutes of that Seagulls-Rabbits, and that was your first ever time watching rugby league, that was a great advertisement for the game. So, high quality games. And normally in those opening rounds, there's a lot of drop balls and people still trying to find their feet. But I thought all four teams actually looked pretty good out there. So the NRL, they'll be obviously quite happy with how things went with their opening weekend, barring a few sort of incidents, which we'll probably touch on a bit later.
Yeah, it was a quality games too, that first one. Real good quality. Yeah, what'd you make of that first game, Si, the Rabbits Manly game?
Yeah, same. As Stace said, bro, man, to kick off the season, man, what about those opening sets, man? Off the kickoff, fucking Rabbitohs struggled. Manly were flying out. I thought it was an awesome game. Like, it was tight for the first 20 minutes, and then as the game went on, it opened up pretty entertainingly. Like, both teams by the second half, both teams made a few inroads. I don't know if the coaches will be happy with the defense in the second half, but like, just from entertainment point of view, it was good to see the ball fly around, and even the Rabbitohs kind of they stayed in touch, just keep you on the edge of the seat, and I thought they were going to come home as well. But now, credit to Manly. I think last week I might have slept on them, like missing the eight, but, still round one. But if they play like that, bring it every game. And what was probably pleasing is that, it wasn't all about Turbo. He had a cool game, an awesome game by his standards, but other people stood up, man. It was entertaining to watch. I think if you're a Bunny supporter, met a little bit disappointed with the defense, especially the coaches, one of Wayne Bennett's kind of products, and he they're all about defense. So I thought attacking wise, Bunnies showed their wares and opened them up a few times. Latrell Mitchell was mean, bro, and he looked on fire. I thought Their linesmen, the defense just let them down. But in saying that, I think Manly's attack has all cut up a few teams open.
Yeah, they look real, real sharp, Manly. What do you think of the pregame stuff? You know, kind of the hype. I don't know. Did you see that Velandi's interview just before the kickoff? And he's like talking to Yvonne, just trying to talk about the game. Really hard to hear, you know, it's quite loud here. Hey, Sean.
No, I thought that was good, because they got they really bought in and they really tried to make it a full event, so all the fans were engaged and all the rest of it, like you're talking about. Peter Vlandis, he's done amazing things in the game, and that foray into the US, that seemed like a pipe dream, but now people have seen how it's turned out and they're quite excited about the upcoming sort of next 4 odd years or whatever they've signed their deal
That's
for.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and just the games as well, like how they're going to carry it on now. Like, yeah, how do you think? Well, I don't even know how they chose those 4 teams. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who they take over next year if they're only going to do 2 games. I don't know. Would you guys prefer to see more games next year? Like a whole round? Or?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Like, I don't know if they'll take the Magic round over there, because I can imagine, I'm no businessman, but that probably cost a lot. You know, the NRL would have forked out a lot for these 4 teams, you know, airfares, accommodation. But, yeah, I don't know, bro. I like the idea of rewarding the teams, so maybe the top 4 are just basic, but who knows, man. But definitely it's going to be an annual event, man, and at least 2 games on to display. And even if it won't be long till we see Origin.
Yeah, I think the crowd attendance, 40,000, 45,000, something like that. Pretty decent. I heard some stats on the numbers they got on the Fox Sports. They got that Fox Sports 1 that was televising the game as well. So I think the first game, they got about 40,000 viewers, 44,000. Second game, about 60,000. So that's not bad, like just viewership online as well. So, yeah, hats off to Vlandis and the work he's done there. Yeah, some of your highlights from, we'll go into the games, just from that first game. You mentioned Latrell. Yeah, he was looking solid. Who else stood out to you in that game, Stace?
Yeah, that was a good game, man. I thought Ty hit the nail on the head. The physicality in those opening minutes was pretty intense. So I thought Luke Brooks, he was bloody awesome. And it was just good to see him playing without the weight of the world on his shoulders. You know, he's had to be the guy who does the organization. He's got to be the runner of the football and everything. He's got to basically do everything for the Tigers. And now you see him with the pressure off, and he's just basically a running 5'8", which is really his strength, running the football first. And we saw the best of him. I think deep down he's probably always been a running 5'8". Because Tigers haven't had anyone else, he's been stuck with the organisational duties. But that's not really, I don't think that's his natural game. So you take that off him, and he looked really good. So, you know, if you're a Tigers fan, you're seeing that, you're thinking, shucks. Or you just can't get anything right. So, yeah, I thought Luke Brooks stood out. And I think, so I touched on a few guys, Tommy Turbo, and Latrell, the fullbacks. And that was a good thing to see for the overall round. When you think about who they try to use to promote the games, the superstars, and thinking of all 4 fullbacks, Tedesco, Walsh, Turbo, and Latrell, and all 4 of them were bloody awesome. So, yeah, a few guys stood out in that game.
Yeah, who are your kind of key guys on that side? I like Brooks. He just looks so fast. Just being unlocked in that game.
Yeah, I thought, and I think probably because he's consistently at that high level, Cherry Evans, bro, he's still cream of the crop at his age. You've got all these, he's got a bit of firepower around him now, but just the way they finished the sets, they gave Bunnies nothing, man. Bunnies had some really tough carries out of their own end. And I think compared to the Manly back 3, I just brought it up here, man. Like, Tommy, Jason Saab, both ran for over 200 metres. Kola, Garrick, 165, 214 metres, respectively. Compared to the Rabbitohs, only Latrell, Richard Kinnar, who had a bit of a shocker defensively.
Kinnar.
They both ran for over 100 metres, but that, not by much. They they kept quiet. Johnson, who's not, you know, he can do a job, but he's not renowned for big meters. And Isaiah Tass, 46 meters. So, you know, back four, comparatively, those tackles one and twos, I just thought Bunnies didn't have, they had the opportunities, but like just in terms of giving the halves a bit more space, I think the Manly pack won there because of their back four giving them a bit of space. And that just goes to show Cherry Evans had enough time to give the outsides some quality ball, whereas the Bunnies, they had some good chances, but they just, I don't know, not enough quality ball maybe. Most of the time they were fighting out of their own end and putting up a kick that wasn't competed with. I thought Cherry Evans stood out for me. Luke Brooks, he's exactly where he needs to be, man. Just be that running 5'8" and not have to worry about getting the boys around the park.
Yeah, interesting you guys touch on that that role that Luke Brooks was playing, you know, and being unlocked to just play his natural game. I want to jump to the Luai, you know, he's going to be going there next year, you know, and he's similar, you know, a running 5'8", going to be moving to the Tigers to fill that halfback role. Is that signs of worry that we're going to see a similar locking him in to try and do a job that he's not naturally doing?
Yeah, that's a good question, eh? Because I think by the sound of it, they're doing the same thing that they did to the Brooks. It's they're putting all their hopes on this one guy working out for Luai, and you're right, he can't be everything and do everything. So if they can find an organizer, then that would be better. That would be better for Luai, as it would have been better when they could have kept Brooks for a long time and found an organizer, and they would have been far better off. But yeah, hopefully they can sort that out.
Yeah, bro. Not for lack of a better word, like the crossroads or the challenge for Luai, because we saw that with the Broncos, man, put all their whamoas in the basket with Milford, and not to say that Milford was capable, because I think he had the skill set. I think Luai's got the skill set, but it's more the temperament of being a half and the consistency to bring it, like, every week. Like, the way you finish off your sets, that's so vital, eh? Because you get a ball to go dead, fuck, that's, you got pressure now on your team to tackle from your own end, because you see it in every game. A ball goes dead, fuck, they just march up the field, seven tackles, bro, and you're under the pump after being on attack. Not to say he's not up to it, because he took Samoa to the final. And you know, he only had Milford, who had a quiet and had a bit of a fucking shocker. I don't want to say he bombed out, but he had a couple of shockers. So he did it on his own, taking Samoa. But that's a tournament, and that's playing with a bit of, you know, a pride and a loafers in your jersey to do it as a professional. Every week, I'm not saying he's not capable, because Sam again, he's got the skill set. And this is the thing with Islanders. Like, I want to root for him, because, man, you get these Balinese over here who think that we ain't capable. It's almost like how they look at quarterbacks in America now, which has changed the game now, because now you've got black quarterbacks in a lot of teams. But, you know, going back a few years, teams were like generalizing, like, man, this quarterback's physically good on his feet, but does he have the temperament and the brains to get their teams around the park? And I think that's where we kind of get boxed in. Like, we got mean wingers, we got mean props, you know, we're factory workers, but can you be the CEO of your team? You know what I mean? So, like I said, physically capable, got all the skill set in the world. And I think he can do what Cleary does, man. And I think he'll take this role on. What I love about him is his confidence, bro. Mm. He exudes confidence. So, I'm rooting for him, but, like, we ain't seen that. Yeah, we ain't seen that consistently, because he hasn't had to do it. Yeah. So, But I'm going to say, yeah, man, he's capable, man. But the challenge is fuck, you're doing it with a Gaia team.
Yeah.
Or a team that's possibly on the rise. You know, Benji's kind of makes a few changes. So, yeah, man, time
will tell. Sticking with the halfbacks, that kind of fall away, I thought the Rabbits had that game too. Manly came in strong over the top. But was that a lack from Ilias being able to lead the team again? You know, Cody's so dominant when he runs, but you know, does Lachlan need to kind of own the team and be able to be the CEO? And I don't think he's got that voice yet.
Yeah, it's hard because those senior guys like you talked about Walker, Latrell Mitchell. You know, they always demand the ball, and that's their strong side, that sweeping play to the left. So they tend to go to that a lot. And I feel for Ilias because he at least had Kalor Matangi on his side, and who's moved over to the left. And he had Campbell Graham, who's a gun center, who's out for the season. So it feels like he's got no weapons on his side. No, and now it's going to be even more left side dominant, I think, for their attack going forward. So I think it's going to get actually probably worse for Ilias. I just don't think that they're going to go to him enough. When South were doing good at the start of last season, you think that the right side had a period where they were scoring more tries than the left. Once they started to get to that left side sweep plays a lot, and their defence was a bit woeful towards the back end, you know, that's when they started tumbling down the table. But they need more from that right side, definitely.
Any other call-outs for that game before we move on to the next one?
Nah, bro. I think... Just quickly, we touched on it last week. Ben Trbojevic had a blinder.
Yeah.
And he's exactly what Manly require in the second row. And I think most teams want that. Like, they're just hard-hitting, safe on defense, and play 80 minutes.
Yeah.
Can Trista do that, man? You know, is he that kind of player?
Yeah.
He's got all the silk and the skills, but I don't think he's an 80-minute hard-hitting second rower. So we're going to put him, man. Jake Trbojevic is your 13. I think he's going to, when it is time for him to come on, he's going to turn into that Filete Mateo, who's one of the, who's probably got the most, under Jake, the second highest paid player in the pack coming off the bench. So you divide that by amount of minutes, but he's catching you.
Plus, you think about, we talked about this earlier, Luke Brooks, how he's an awesome running 5'8", so he's going to run it to the line, and that's where you need a back rower who can hit holes. That's where Ben Trbojevic is a really good foil for Luke Brooks. Whereas you think about Schuster, Schuster's a ball-playing back rower. So he kind of wants early balls. He can run them and do some stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where it's going to be a difficult...
Where's he going to fit in, mate?
With alongside Brooks, because it's Olakau'atu and Cherry Evans on the right's already sorted. So he's going to have to try and break that left side, Schuster. But I think that Trbojevic is good for Luke Brooks. Ben Trbojevic, that is. So it's going to be interesting because they've paid, like you said, Si, they have paid Schuster not to be a bench warmer, not to be a reserve grader, to be a starting something.
Yeah,
so they've got to have to make that work somehow.
You do the maths. And, you know, league's a business.
Yeah.
Their CEO is going to be the Seabold. All right, no. Seki, move him on. We need that money.
Unfortunately, it sounds like possibly, yeah. And the other thing about Ben, man, in fantasy, he's a gun because he's one of the only dual-edge centre. And so, you know, you can place him in there and he's getting edge points as a centre. So that's awesome about him in fantasy.
And he's definitely bulked up a bit too, so... He was gunning for that spot, that second rower spot. But like you said, Tans, he's capable of filling in that wide too. I mean, it's only one position outside.
Very good.
Of him, but,
all right, let's move to that next game, the Roosters Broncos game. Again, quality game, man. For first game of the season, real good. Such a spectacle, and you know, these guys put on a real good show for advertising for the game. You know, just to show these Americans what the game's about. But, you know, playing real well is, you know, it's not like a normal, you know, first round. You expect a few kind of off-throw, you know, balls going out. But, man, it was pretty much a quality game.
So I'll let you go first because it's your team, Moose.
Yeah.
For different reasons too. A different game. Mm. I don't think, and I don't know, I want to say disappointing, but for a team that had like so many superstars attacking wise, I thought it was a real kind of a dogged like finals kind of game, eh? That defensively was awesome, man. Both teams slugged it out, but it never really reached. It never really opened up, and I thought the Broncos had enough chances. Mm. I think the difference was for me was two guys, man, Tedesco and Joey Manu. You take those two guys out, and mate, it's a flip of a coin because I thought both teams offensively, like team wise, were off their game in terms of on attack. I thought both line speeds were able to kind of nullify them. I don't think Broncos fans got too much worries because it was no disrespect to the Roosters, and they probably deserved the win. But I just thought it came down to some individual brilliance. Like Tedesco was just catching everything, bro. Like they didn't really offer too much, man. I mean, I thought the up and unders just really hurt us because fucking the Reece Walsh was being out jumped. I thought maybe one kind of not I don't know worrying, but when they were going at Arthur's first, but he started catching everything. And then decided to go Walsh and they kick straight down or between Walsh and wait for Tedesco made some inroads, bro, and they're quite short, those guys. And then Joey Manu, bro, he gets the intercept off a bad error from Mam, and then he gets that Busiki borderline forward pass. There's two tries there, you know? From an angle, from a couple of angles there, it was like, that's 50-50.
So, like, Cobbo's ankles all right? Cobbo okay?
So. Fuck, he stirred him up. But that's not a worrying thing for me because that's one-on-one. That's not defensively. I thought he was not bad. But, bro, we're talking about fucking one of the world's top five players here, bro. And he's had he's the reigning, what do you call that, world player of the year? I think it is Joey Manu. So
Golden Boot, he won.
Manu will do that to everyone. He'll fucking beat you one-on-one. I thought Cobra was safe, man. He wasn't too bad, and he's always good coming out of his own end. They didn't have the time and the space. Katoni, he was hitting it up all day from tackle one and two. He had no ball in space. I just thought the Roosters' line speed was won the game for them. Just didn't give Reynolds, who I thought was a bit poor in his finishing the sets. We gave, like, as I told you before, man, that how you finish off the sets. We fucking gave them so much ball, like, after kicking the ball dead, man. You know, we had our chances, and we finished. You're better, you know what Penrith do really well? Just run the ball in the last, bro. Give it away in the last 5 metres of the field there. Make the teams run it off their line. Instead of fucking giving them the fucking ball 20 metres out with an extra tackle. And that game, it looked like it was fucking Carlo Park size try in goals. So, a lot of work to do for the Broncos, but not panic stations. I just thought, like, that was the big difference, bro. Tedesco and Joey Manu. Walsh, when he did get a chance, his individual brilliance, got that good try with his little chip. But outside of that, he was a bit quiet.
Did you see his face?
Yeah, I agree with that. I sort of think Sy sort of hit the nail on the head there. That was another high quality game, similar to the first one. But, you know, the Roosters, they're perennial slow starters. So I thought there was a good opportunity, you know, for the Bronx to catch a gun team early in the season. And, you know, looking at the Bronx, they've lost some crucial guys from last season's team. So I think they're just still adjusting and finding their feet. They've got a lot of younger players coming through. And I thought the Bronx last year, they had a really good mix on the bench. So they had Piakura on the bench to cover the edge, and they had guys like Palacia to help out through the middle. But you see in this game, Piakura started, he gets concussed early, and they don't have an edge back cross, and they move Carrigan.
Fucked us. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, they're moving Carrigan to an edge. And you think, you know, he's one of the best middle forwards in the world. And so when you move Carrigan and you haven't got Pelissier and Flegler to carry that extra workload through the middle, you know, I don't know, Si, what you think, but you might be a good guy to sort of look at this. But what do you think about them putting another edge forward on the bench and getting rid of one of those other big guys, those big boppers, just for to cover?
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head, bro. You got that lack of – because we've got props on the bench, bro. And you're moving Carrigan, who, like you said, and that's probably what we missed. Once we moved him, we missed that, like, that the second, you know, you got Haas, then you got Carrigan, and we smash it up the middle. But Carrigan still made his meters, but I just thought, just for balance-wise, yeah, we're just missing that. That's probably the biggest loss, bro. You hit the nail on the head, man. Having Piakura and having Palacio come off the bench last year was so good to cover those. And you know, injuries so hard to cover, but it just goes to show what those type of players you need on your bench, who, like, you know, like second rowers that can play prop.
Yeah.
Guys that can cover in case of injury.
Young kid, injured at the moment, Xavier. He wasn't even in the...
Yeah, listen, I just don't think he made the team. Fucking, I suppose, wait Marty for you, not surprised he started, because, bro,
it was a good start to the game, seeing Marty just...
Didn't see him until late in the fucking second half, man.
Yeah, it started out, and then the man went to go take photos with the or something.
I know. But we just had no one to come in and fill that gap on the second row. I think Walters needs to look at that, like, because you don't want to fuck Carrigan at 13, one of the best, man. And he got outplayed, fucking, you know who was mean. 13 for Victor. Good to see him back as being the inflictor, man. He's one of my favorite players. Ball playing 13, but getting hit.
Good control too, like, is just same intensity, but just not as usual. Maybe he's just been working on it or off season, just you know, just getting that level right, because he always came in hard, but you know, he always going a bit high, just a bit ruthless. But nah, he was real good.
Yeah, and you think about the Roosters last year, they were quite clunky, and Victor was also clunky. The whole team was, but he got stuck in this thing where he tried to ball play a lot, and it looks like they've simplified his role, just run hard and smash people, and sort of ball play here and there.
That's,
like, that's not your main thing. You know, your main thing is to bring that physicality. So I think they're starting to get, the Roosters are starting to get a bit better mix in what they're trying to do with some of their guys. And it's good
Hard out. It's, you forget that they made the eight because it was a late run.
Yeah.
But because majority of last year, they were inconsistent and lost a lot of games to teams who were poor. So that's how they play when they're not on song. That's a scary thought, that if they can put it together consistently, they got the kettle, man, to win the comp, man. And Brandon Smith was quiet, man. You know, he was just really just serving the ball off the deck. He didn't really have to do much. I think he only ran for like 50-odd metres. So they've got guns everywhere, man. Got guns everywhere. I thought defensively Broncos did okay.
Yeah, was that game plan or just a bit off, like just Adam Reynolds, just like you were saying, those last kick options, a lot of them just going up and under. Like, I'm not sure what that was about. Like, just no depth to his kick, like midfield, and he's not going for yards. I don't know if he was, you know, maybe that concern of the size of the field, but yeah, it was a few times there he's just kicking in the middle and they're going, like, you know, straight up and 10 metres forward. So,
who knows, man? But the last two games, he's had a shocker with the boot.
Wait.
80 minutes. I'll sort of change that around. 80 minutes plus the last half an hour of the previous game. But I don't know, man. He's still one of the best kicking games in the world. But he's probably the first to say that he didn't have the best game on Saturday. It was just those dead balls. Like, but you're right, Tansy. They didn't really, compared to the Roosters' kicking game. Like, a majority of the Roosters' kicks, they were competing. Mm. Whereas we just fucking kicked down their throats, bro. And, like, it was either shallow, too high, or, like, deep, and no one was competing for it. So, but, I mean, he's a professional. He's been doing it for the last 10, 12 years. So, It's not a big concern.
A few little things came up during that game. So there was the Jason Saab attempt. You know, he's going in for a try, and Reece Walsh came in with a definite shoulder charge, and it gets a penalty. That's a try scoring opportunity, and they say it's not a penalty try and not a sin binning offence. I'm confused. Like, is that a new rule or what happened there?
Well, he got penalised.
Yeah, in a try-scoring situation. I don't know how they say that shouldn't be a penalty try. He's pretty much putting it on the line. He's over the line, just needs to put it down. I don't know, maybe it's for the fans of America. Kind of.
Nah, because you've got to look at the rules. That he definitely...
That's Jason Saab, mate, over the line. He's like a metre from the line.
Well, if he tackled him normally, you can't say exactly. He was going to score.
If he tackled him normally.
I think penalty was sufficient. And I think it wasn't like mitigating circumstances. I think it wasn't intent to, like, you know, one on one and kind of smash him.
Mm.
It was
desperation.
He's flying desperation. At the flag. He was flying at the flag, bro. I don't know why you're dogging. You want your fullback to do this shit, bro. I was like, he's a small guy, bro. Come on. If you're small and you shoulder charge someone, you got to give him a little bit of leeway, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I think also Jason Saab's huge. The shoulder charge that they're trying to get out the game was, you know, that front on smashing people and they get that whiplash up the side. That, to me, those ones on the side on ones, those aren't really the shoulder charges that they're trying to get out of the game. So I'm sort of similar with Sai. I actually think that's okay. If you're defending your line, you defend your line however you got to. And if you try and tackle him, dive at him with arms wrapped, I mean, that's actually, to me, more dangerous that close to the line and he's going low and you're diving in head first lower.
Yes,
like you can,
it's more
either
self-defense.
You'll get knocked out or he's going to get knocked out, but I reckon that ends worse.
Exactly.
All right. Exactly. Sorry, apologies. It was Daniel Tupou. My bad. Another thing that came up in that game, Luke Carey's drop goal attempt on the half time. So a bit of a rule change there, and they had the two, they didn't give it, saying that there was blockers there. I mean, that's a normal setup for a drop goal, so I don't know what the new rule is there. But you kind of, you know, the ref gave it, and then they challenged it, and because they had Collins already in place, so he did, you know, he didn't have to move. Victor comes over, and they said it was And so apparently you can't block now for a kick chase for a drop goal.
Nah, sorry, those rules have always been in place, but when do we see drop goals? It's usually extra time,
Golden make a difference
point
in the game, yeah.
And what happens in Golden Point? Referees fucking drop nuts to make any calls. So I think now they're like, because I remember them, I might have been on a previous podcast that I was hearing, but they're clamping down on certain things this year. The offsides,
yeah.
Because fucking Downtown, Golden Time drop kick, there's always offsides and blocking. But blocking has always been there, bro. You can't, there's a certain way. To stay
on the so I was thinking maybe it's Victor ready because Collins was already set, but then Victor kind of came over to where Collins was.
It wasn't the fact that I was standing in a certain spot, I think, because he moved off his thing, wasn't it? Was more Radley?
Yeah, Radley kind of came from like dummy and then moved into that position.
Yeah, but the pressure will be on the refs now to see if they've got the balls to make these calls when it's golden point.
All right, the ugly and probably well over-talked, let's take some quick points on the Spencer Lanier racial slur against Ezra Mam. Your thoughts, Stace?
Yeah, I just saw recently, it looks like Spencer, you know, he's admitted what he said and he's apologized to Ezra. So that's essentially an admission of guilt, I guess. So I guess the question now is how long should he get? And, you know, on a footy field, there's a lot of trash talk and a lot of shitty comments and insults that get hurled on the footy field. And I think Spencer had called him basically any other insult. It would have been, you know, like water off a duck's back for someone like Ezra. But I watched that game and I saw Mam's face. And, man, he was rattled by that comment, eh? You then hear that he was reduced to tears in the change room afterwards. And you can see that some previous sort of trauma attached to that comment for him. So from that perspective, he shouldn't have been put in that position and have to deal with that sort of shit. So, you know, Spencer's got to cop something for it. I think he should get a longer ban for it just because it's racially, his racial connotations involved. So maybe, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. But yeah, it's just sad that, you know, it's such a great event in Vegas and they're trying to promote the game. And this is sort of taking over the headlines a bit there.
Yeah, bro. I found myself laughing at it, especially with the post-match interview where he was just kind of cash about it, which just goes to show...
PR trainings when he was at Penrith. So.
that's the thing. Like, at first I had my foot on both sides, and this is the thing about Islanders and Samoans in general. You know, we kind of have, especially our generation and before us, we have thick skin, man. You know, our parents migrated to New Zealand, and you know, we feel the shit that they had to put up with. We've all played footy, if you will. We had to put up with shit off the footy field, but I think this is like a lesson in society now. Is that like when we deal with stuff growing up with racism, what we do, we fussy those motherfuckers. We can't do that now, man. And not only that, when we were playing, we're playing amateur club footy. These guys are dealing with, this is professional, this is their job. Would you put up with racism in your workplace? Nah, bro, you'd be gone. You'd be going into HR. And this is something that Leung Yeo is got to understand. And being a young man, I kind of understand. I kind of understand where he's coming from. And you know, maybe his upbringing is similar to ours, that we should talk on the field, man. We call people out. But on the same time, man, these guys go through training. They go through PR training. They go through cultural awareness training. There's kind of no excuse for his one, the slur, and two, that post-match analysis, that post-match interview, which was a bit, it was probably poor from the Roosters management, man. I mean, you got to bring that guy off, bro. They got a media team or whatever. And it's similar like fighting, like when the sports are finished and, you know, they've got the adrenaline still in them and then probably not talking out, you know, from their heart, but I'll give him credit. He's come out with the apologies. But like a few days later, that's more to do with, oh, fuck, you know.
Stand down, Spencer.
A lengthy ban. You don't want a lengthy ban. But I think and looking at the trolls online, bro, it's probably more of a good education for us Samoans in general that we're mockers. We fucking make fun of people, but we love with all our heart as well. But we got to understand, man, there are words, and we got to understand history as well. Certain animals mean certain things, man. So, and you know, got to look at what the Meulis and what the Apolikis put up with. This is a historical slur, so we can't just do what we normally do, like sticks and stones, like we'll give it back. We got to be understanding, man, and not only that, the biggest thing for me, man, Spencer Leung Yeo. Man, you ain't earned the right to shit talk, man, like that, bro. Come on. You, out of all the four props, you're the less meters maker. And now you're becoming like, this is an opportunity for you to cement your place as elite prop, as a starting prop. And I think that was poor from him, man. Like, and as well as that, bro, like, you showcasing our culture, bro. You know, that was a bit of a blimp on the game, man. Everyone's talking about that. For example, was this Tyrell May coming off the bench? Fuck, how good was he?
DNA.
How good was he? Like, man, talk with your actions, bro. Hey, you know what I mean? Don't become one of those guys, bro. Like last year, Hargo sprayed you and you're like, and didn't do nothing. No, and now it's going to be suspended, so. I love anyone who puts on that Tor Samoa jersey, but man, I urge him to, man, just deal with your actions, bro. Like, fucking become an enforcer through your actions, not through shit talking, man.
Yeah, I was similar to you, bro. Like, just really, just changed my perspective on the whole thing, you know, just had a laugh and, like, come on, man, Ezra, like, why'd you. But, yeah, and I guess we'd be jumping up and down if it was a white guy that said it to him from the Roosters. But then, exactly. Kind of, you know, being an Islander Samoan, like you're saying, like, it's just that, oh, thick skinned. But I think it's a reality check for all of us. Like, it's no longer okay. Like, we've all been putting up with this. And then hearing one of the also say it to someone, like, oh, it should be okay. But it's like, actually, nah, it's not. And hopefully it kind of makes us harder on it too. Like, we shouldn't be saying those things to anyone. And so it kind of, you know, just, yeah, our thick skinness kind of needs to flip as well. Especially for our kids and, you know, the younger generation, like, stamping it out and going, actually, no, it's not okay. So probably lessons for everyone, especially Spencer. So, yeah, I feel sorry for him. Like, you know, he's good chance to stamp his authority, but I think they're going to come down hard on him. Hopefully not too hard.
Might be a few weeks, Aaron.
There's so many other guys have done this kind of crap too. So, yeah, maybe just a few weeks to just think about it, reset.
Oh, I'll be surprised if he ends up with a few weeks, to be honest. Just because there's been a massive sort of public outcry as well on the back of it. So I wonder if they might try to make an example of him just to try to set their tone and say, look, this isn't tolerated. And that will stamp it out for good. If you give him 2 weeks, I don't know, does that stamp it out the game? And does that say that you're serious about getting rid of it?
I'll be surprised. Nah, I think it's going to be minimum 4. Look at all the work the NRL does about diversity, especially Apuliki culture. You know, it would be a bad look if they, you know, they're a little slap on the wrist. I think they'll come down hard, man.
Fair enough. Nice, boys. Anything else stand out to your game? Special mention. mention to Dean Mariner. He had an awesome game. You know, pretty much as his first starting role with the Broncos and getting a proper start. He was impressive. He had a good game. Like, caught everything that came his way. So, good on the kid. Hope he goes well this season.
Yeah. Shot call, bro. Fucking speed off the marquee. Twinkle toes. Got a first try. And shout out to Lappy, man, and Joel's and the family, because we mentioned it before, man. They made the sacrifice to move over here, man, to move over to Brisbane, support their son's dreams. And personally, I know a lot of the family, man, the extended family, they all went to all Vegas. His cousins. They all went to Vegas, man. So he's got a lot of alofas and support. But, yeah, man, he's hoping for a big career, man.
Yeah. Nice. Hey,
it's good to see him perform, because he's had a bit of pressure there. He's got Corey Oates and a few other guys. So, you know, for him to get his opportunity and to play really good there. And then hopefully that augurs well for the rest of the season for him, because they've got some depth there at the Bronx.
Nice, boys. Hey, let's get into, before we jump into this the rest of the round's games, I just wanted to cover off some of the things that probably I had troubles last week on the mic, but I wanted to go over and get your top billing, Stace, since you're here, man. So let's jump into your top 8, bro. Your top 8, top 4. I don't know if you got that prepared, but what's your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I think it's quite hard to predict the top 8. That's the beauty of the NRL, is that there's so many teams that can make it, and there's probably about, you know, 11 or 12 teams who have potentially got top 8 rosters. But I still think the Panthers, even though they've lost a lot of guys, I think they'll be up there. Warriors, I'm picking them to make the final. And I saw good signs from the Roosters, so I'll pick them up there. And Bronx, who have still got a strong team, so that's my top 4. I think I spoke last year about the Titans and being a big mover, so I think that they will sneak into the top 8.
That's just smoky.
Yeah, and we talked about the Rabbitohs, and the same issues that they had in this game is the same issues they had last year. You remember they were finishing... They're coming first in round 11, They just dropped completely at the top 8, and I saw those same things again. So I think the Rabbitohs, I don't think they're going to make top 8 again this year.
Oh, what a call.
That's
a huge call.
Wow. on paper, everyone loves them on paper, but I just don't see it. I don't see it.
Oof. All right.
All that quality in the team. Yeah. Big call, big call.
No faith in Lachlan Early, see? And rounding out your 8, bro, who are the other 3, man?
I've got the Storm, good team. I think Sai, you brought up the Cowboys, and I quite like that call, so I'll give the Cowboys in there. And Seagulls, I'll give the Seagulls a shot. I thought they were pretty good. And like Sai mentioned earlier, they're still reliant on Tommy, but not it's all on him to be everything. So if they can share the workload a bit, I think they can make the top eight. And if Tommy stays fit.
Yeah, that's a nice top eight. We'll lock that in. That's going to be interesting, man. And you're taking it out? Who you think...
Oh, who do you think?
Panthers going for four in a row.
Is it the year, Stace?
It is the year for me because I've already paid my flights.
Oh, did you transfer from last year? You transfer your flights from last year?
No. We went to, me and my wife and the kids went to Australia in Jan. Oh, so we got those flexi flights. But we've already paid our flights again this year. We've booked our accommodation already.
It has to be,
because I think SJ, he's close to retirement. Window is closing, at least for Noah Blake next year. So if it's not this year, it might be another 5+ years wait after this year. Yep.
Well, yep. Every single year I've known you, I laugh my ass off at that. But I actually, that's an educated core there now. So, Warriors have the ability to go all the way, bro. So all the best.
Any thoughts who they're going to meet there in the final? Panthers?
You know what? We should make a pact because Warriors in the premiership window, I think Broncos are in there. If it's Warriors Bronx, we should all go to that game.
Hey. Caught it.
Nice,
cool.
Stace. Your wooden spooner, mate. Who do you think's going to... Tigers going for four, Pete?
Oh, gee. Yes, yeah, the same team at the top and same team at the bottom. I actually think the Dragons look pretty shoddy, eh? They've... Ben Hunt's their best player. He's disgruntled there. Yeah. Zach Lomax has been moved to the wing, and he's...
Yeah, I heard he's disgruntled at the moment really about unhappy. That too. Yeah,
he's unhappy about that. So.
He's going to be far-lee, man.
Yeah. So a lot of their leaders are really, dropping their lip and all the rest of it, and that doesn't all go well for team culture and the young fellas as well. Mm. I think Sully, on a positive note, he's been training the house down, apparently, Moses Sully, so... And I still think the Dragons might be the wooden spooners.
Dragons.
Who did you guys have? I don't know if I heard your guys' wooden spoon predictions. Who did you guys mention?
I was the same. Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dragons. I threw in the Dolphins. I was kind of thinking about it during the week. And Bennett's still there, though, but I think they outperformed last year. So, yeah, I just don't. I think they might drop a bit. Maybe I'm just reading too much into that trial game they had.
They got some good signings too. Herbie and a couple of other guys whose name escapes me now.
Herbie makes a big difference.
Key forwards there.
Oh, yeah, Flegler. Yeah, Herbie and Flegler. They picked up both of them.
Yeah, those are some massive signings.
Yeah, big time.
Nice.
That's why I was surprised that you're caught on it because they're actually a better team than last year.
Yeah.
And maybe weak a little bit, Sullivan's. Still got a point to prove there. And Couture's still learning, but roster wise on paper, they're strengthened. So I don't know, man. I'll be surprised if they got this formula.
All right, we'll add another one in here. Good call, Stace. So your guys Dally M predictions. Johnson pipped at the end last year. Your thoughts this year, Si? Who do you think's gonna take out Dally M?
Yeah, I'm gonna say Johnson, bro. I think, like Stacey said, this is their famalama, man. This is their window, and for them to do it, he's gotta bring it, man. And he was just unlucky that we touched on it last year. Knights had that big run, but because of outside of Ponga, they really had not too many guys performing on his level, that Ponga gets some easy maximum points for most games, whereas Johnson, what undoes him is sharing the points. And now you've got 12 us check there. That might be his undoing, man, because you start consistently playing at a certain level than you expect it. Like, for Noah Blake, he's playing, he's going to make 150, 200 metres plus. You're like, nah, don't worry. That's what he does every game. But he's more deserving of 3 points as Johnson is. But I think for the Warriors, and I was with Stace, they're going to make the top four. Well, my prediction, he's going to be consistently good. And so, yeah, bro, I think because I thought he deserved it last year, that I'm rooting for him.
But you, Stace, who you think's going to shine as a Dally M this year?
Yeah, I think Cy raises a good point about the point system and how it works. So, you know, if you're in a good team, so you think of Panthers, they've won three in a row. But it'll be hard for anyone on their team to win just because they're all taking points off each other. So I think that says something about the point system and the way it works. But if you're sort of in a decent team that sort of makes the eight and you're that one-man band like Kalen Ponga was or like Tommy Turbo when he won it, you know, Nico Hines has won it the same thing, then you can take it out. So I've got the Cowboys sneaking into the top eight. And the guy who I think is not quite a one-man band, but close to it, is Drinkwater, a fullback. I think he swings on both sides, and his ball playing will win them a lot of games. So I think he can get a lot of 3 points and get them into the top eight. Nice. So I'll go Scott Drinkwater.
Yeah.
Oh, good call, bro. Bit left field, but he's capable.
Yeah, even in the trial games, just that long ball he throws is so deceptive and so on point every time. I'm actually going to chuck in, you mentioned him, I think he's going to have a better year this year, so I think I'll go back to Nico Hines, a fit Nico Hines throughout the year.
Wow.
Similar team, really? Like he pretty much stands out on that team. You know, Kennedy's on and off depending how he goes, so yeah, I think Nico Hines might be back to steal some points for his team. None of us had the Sharks in our eight, though, which was interesting.
I was just going to ask you that. You think the Sharks are going to come somewhere?
But based on that analysis, that they should clean up against the Warriors then, if you think Nico Hines going to...
Not the first game. Just not the first game. You might tip it off. Just the travel time and everything. Nice. We've got another little section here too, boys. We want to chuck in some bolters for Origin. We are very early in the season. Season's still yet to kick off, and we are already talking Origin. Look at that.
We're going in blind here.
So yeah, what's some names from either team? Try and pick and chuck in some of your debutants, some guys that you might be surprised to see or hoping to see in your teams.
I got one, bro. I think if the Warriors play as we're all predicting, Wade Egan for New South Wales. I think he's a New South Welshman. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, no, they've talked about him last year, so that's why that name came up. In saying that, man, you'd have to maybe. If the Tigers got that wooden spoon and played Gaia and poor Uppy had, you know, was quiet, then, you know, Uppy really has to have a bad start to the year for him to lose his spot. But I don't know, just going in blind, like, I'm just gonna throw it up there, Wade Egan, bro, for the Queensland, bro, you don't really wanna mess with a successful team like Queensland, eh? I don't think Slater's got too much to worry about there.
Actually, while we're on that point, it's probably not a Bolter question, but who do you think gets that number one jersey? Wait and see.
Wait and see. We'll see how Ponga comes out. If they both play well, if they both play awesome, bro, I'd rather Ponga. And this is coming from a Broncos. Because they're both superstars, they both can pull it out. But Ponga's got the experience. I just think because Ponga had concussion issues the last couple of years, Walsh got it by default. But Walsh had an awesome year last year. But I still think that Ponga's was the incumbent. You know, it's Slater's now, it's Ponga's jersey. So I still kind of think it's like when someone gets injured and then someone comes for the All Blacks and plays well. You kind of still have to respect that guy who's back to full fitness now.
You don't think they're seeing us doing anything like the New South and playing one of them out of position to keep both on the field?
Well, I can see Ponga being 14. He's done that before. But I can't see Walsh being a 14. You wouldn't want him in the front line. You wouldn't want him anywhere tackling in the front line. But yeah, fuck, it's going to be a hard one.
Good
for Billy Slater, bro. Yeah.
I mean, I think part of the issue is because, you know, you think Ben Hunt, he's one of the best 14s going around. So, you know, how do you count both of those guys on the bench? And I don't think Ben Hunt is droppable. He covers way too many positions, and he's been awesome.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Queensland. So, I think either one of them starts, and the other one's out of the team, unless there's injuries. So it's going to be interesting.
You've been watching that team hurt you for so many years. You know them inside and out, eh? How about you, Stacey?
One guy who I was impressed with over the weekend, and he must have been close last year, was Big Hom Mole Olukawatu from the Eagles.
He's New South.
And he's a devastating one. Yeah, he played good. He's New South. And I don't know what happened, but he started off with the Hiss in a Roar last year, and he sort of fell away a bit just before the Origin series. But they tried guys like Hudson Young and some other guys who weren't, in my opinion, at that level. So I think Olukawatu might be one who might bolt through there.
All right, boys, let's get into a quick wrap of these games. The kickoff, I think this game might have even already kicked off just now. 4 minutes in, the Knights versus the Raiders. How do you see this going, Stace?
Looking at the teams now, a few young guns coming through the ranks at the Raiders, with young Strange there and Savage getting a run. But I think, Si, you mentioned this last week, that their key player being Fogarty. You know, they've got that gun forward pack. So if he can capitalise on that, their go forward, they could be a chance. But, you know, Ponga, he's the Dalian player of the year for a reason. So that left side attack in particular will trouble the Raiders. So I'll take the Knights in a close one.
Yeah, any changes to you, Si? You still happy with the Knights, mate?
Yeah. But I have them actually running away with the game. 13 plus, so.
Tomorrow's game. Off to that game. Good starting. Should be a full strength team from both sides. Stace, your thoughts on that? Tua Piki gets the start at the back.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Us? Would you have had RTS or what?
RTS, he got 40 minutes there during the trials. He looked bloody awesome at fullback. But I know they're trying to play him at centre throughout the rest of the year. And he needs time in that jersey because, you know, that's not a position he's played a lot of. So I'd just leave him at centre, stick with Tua Piki. But, a bit of pressure on the Warriors. You know, there's a lot of expectation on them this year. But, you know, I just saw the stat that the Sharks, they've only won one opening round match in 10 years. So not a good record. You know, plus the Warriors, Warriors at home. I think the Warriors, they might target Talakai again. They targeted him last year, and he ended up getting dropped to reserve grade after that. So they'll go down that left side. Sean Johnson on the right, he'll get man of the match. Nice. Warriors 13 plus for that one.
Yes, Si, any changes after seeing the teams?
Nah, Warriors capable for me to go, you know, finish minor premiers, which I caught. So, I think they'll run away with this one, especially at Ericsson Stadium. Mount Smart.
Go Media now. Go Media.
Oh, shit. Is it?
Keep changing it up.
If the Warriors get sussed before full time, do they call it the Go Media Shuffle? Or?
Just go.
Good to see also the game, eh? It's already sold out, this game. Their next home game is round 3 against the Raiders, and that has already sold out as well. Warriors fans jumping on board. In their preseason game, they sold out their first preseason game in Christchurch. Their second preseason game, they got 14,500. So just for some perspective, that same weekend was Super Rugby opening, and the Blues only got 15,000 to their home opening game for the season. So only 500 less for a preseason game for the Warriors.
Yeah, they always had less crowds. But I was going to ask you boys, you know, being resident or being back home, like coverage in the media, are the Warriors getting their full love now? Like the New Zealand media, or are they still? They're still second to what they get.
Yeah, they're still kind of the... Maybe when the season starts proper, but it's kind of like, you know, a few end of the sports reports still. Maybe they're just not trying to hype it up too much. But yeah. I guess general public, you know, everyone's kind of buzzing and still got those high expectations. But yeah, the media really hasn't jumped on board fully yet.
Because your followers' crowd's killing it, man.
I think just a lot of the love from the, you know, the commentaries and just what happened last year too. You know, when you hear greats saying, you know, they've never heard a crowd like that before. You know, and you hear guys like Vossi and all these greats that have commentated all around Australia, and they're just saying, man, the noise from that night's game was unbelievable. It's kind of, you know, makes you want to be a part of it. Like, oh, flip, I want to be there when it's like going off and going crazy. So, should be a good one tomorrow night. Moving over to Saturday, the Storms without Cameron Munster.
Is he out, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jonah Pezet starting against the Panthers. Panthers look pretty much full strength. Taylor May back. So that'll be interesting, seeing him running there at centre, replacing Stephen Cronin. Your thoughts, Stace?
Yeah, Storm got a really good record in round one. They haven't lost since 2001.
And it's the Panthers. Yeah. And they're without their star.
Yeah. So when you consider that Bellamy, you know, he took over the coaching in 2003, he's never ever lost a round one game.
Yeah.
He knows how to get a team to, you know, hit the ground running to start the season. Stat. So that's an impressive record that he's got there. But I think this is going to be, must be the hardest opening match they've ever had, the three-time champs. So, but, you know, I like the Storm, their record, eh? They always win their opening match, so I'll just pick them again on that.
Nice. Ooh. Yeah, that's a big call because, we both went Panthers. You flipping on that side or you still happy with your call, man?
Nah. I feel a bit more I didn't realise that stat. I knew a few years back they said that, but fuck, they've kept it on every year since. I think losing Munster's even more, like, this is one record.
Good to see Paps back, man, running around and starting at fullback in that game too, so it should be interesting to see. Before we move on, your guys' thoughts on the Panthers? Yeah, everyone's kind of been quiet on the Panthers. Kind of, you know, assuming, you know, they've done the three-peat and they've done everything they needed to do. So I don't know if there's just internal talk with the Panthers, like, you know, just that confidence and not being too bothered about what people are saying. Everyone's kind of discounted them, not even thinking of a four-peat. I'm sure that must be something they talk internally about. I don't know. You guys think they're just gone off the boil?
No, I haven't discounted them. They've lost maybe a little bit of firepower out wide with Critter, but the Critter was almost like a cherry on top for them. You know, where they smash teams is up front, man. Liotta and Fisher Harris, man. These Kiwi props, bro, the two best props at the moment, probably the best combination, and that's where it all starts, man. And then you've got the best halfback in the world, Cleary, so nah, they'll be up there, man. I ain't sleeping on them. They still got that window open, especially with Luai, who was last year, so I just don't think they've had, I think other teams are a bit more interesting buyers, but yeah, definitely media-wise, but I don't think people are, you know, or expert journalists are sleeping on them. I still think they're capable of a four-peat, man.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how Cleary does as attacking kicking game, because they've got small wingers with To'o and Taruva. So normally they'll do those crossfield kicks with the wings, but he'll do crossfield kicks sort of mid-range to Crichton. But now he's not there, so I don't know who the target is. They don't have any out-and-out leapers in their back five that I can see. So that's going to be interesting how he manages that kicking game and good attacking positions. Because I think Crichton's actually a big loss for them. But I still also, like, so I have them there or thereabouts in that.
Nice. All right, let's move on to the next game. We got the Eels and the Bulldogs. So you picked the Bulldogs. What do you see in the Bulldogs? It's giving you some hope.
I think first game and it's a bit of energy there. Got a new captain, a Critter in there. So I think they'll run on those fumes, bro. And it is that, it's at, you know, Combat Stadium, which is like Parramatta's home ground. But when I say that, it's quite a few teams share that field. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm almost looking at the fucking lineups, bro. I'm almost...
We've been deep in your drinks by that time, mate.
But this is my upset of the round, pretty much. Because fuck, Hopgood, you got Lane, Cartwright, Bolo, Campbell, Gillard. That's still a fucking jam-packed...
Yeah, that's a good pack, eh?
Yeah, and then Brown, Moses, two of the best halves. Probably will be good with the Eels is seeing how Harper, we touched on Harper last year, how he's going to run. But I just think first round game, and Doggies will be running on adrenaline like, this is our year, man. We're gonna pull it out this year. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how those new signings got the Dogs, because they picked up a lot of guys. And they're trying to rebuild that roster there. But it's going to take time for them to gel. So you think about the importance of the spine. I'm just looking at it now. Blake Taff, Matt Burden, Drew Hutchison. So new fullback, new halfback. You know, I think that's just going to take time. I think they might be okay throughout the season, but they might struggle early on. So I'll pick the Eels just with their proven combinations.
Nice. That they've got. Next game up, your bolter for the eight, the Titans. Up against your wooden spoon of the Dragons. Tyrell Sloan, man, he was disappointing in that trial game against the Dolphins, I think it was. So, yeah, I don't know. Just not sold on him. I don't know what's happening with that kid.
Yeah, he's real rocks and diamonds, isn't he? They got. I'm just looking at their lineup at the Dragons. So with Sully and Bird there, I can understand now why Lomax is sort of making way. They've got good centers there, so they're just trying to fit everyone in there, and that's why Lomax is on the wing. But I quite like the Titans. I mentioned that in my predictions. Campbell out's a big loss, but just looking at that forward pack, Fuchueka, Fasu Maliawi, they've got Firmore back, Palacia. You know, once they get Fafita back, that's a gun pack, eh? So I think they're going to be good this season. And I think they'll win this early game just because I don't think the
It's nice to see Palacia getting a starting position too. That's awesome. Starting Keanu Kinney at the back. AJ going to play in the centres. Should be interesting to see.
Yeah, I know very little about this kid, man. But what I do like about the Titans, bro, is it's a young team, eh, man? And they fucking they weren't too far off last year, man. They lost a lot of close games where they come out and blow teams off the park and got
at the end, yeah.
caught out at the end there.
Yeah,
which is you know, this is a telltale sign of a young team, an experienced team. So I think they'll be better for it this year and a bit stronger with some good couple of boys there, Palacia coming in, but and Dino and Fuatuaka, bro, you got a couple of representative. Props there, so I think their forwards will do them well. Still tested in the back line there, but they're quality players in Foran and AJ and Campbell, Preston Campbell, Preston's son there comes back. He's fucking X factor, man. So not bad. Smoking for the top eight. I didn't have them in mind, but I can see where Stace coming from, bro.
Yeah, good to see how Palacia goes, because I really rated him at the Bronx. Hey, they had gun middles, he could have cracked that starting lineup. But if he can be a regular starter here, you talk about Origin, Boulders, I'm assuming he's Queensland eligible. I mean, he might be in the mix if he can fulfill his potential.
Yeah, they got him starting at lock too.
Yeah, I think he might stay there for the season.
Yeah. And, get better and minutes. He's kind of it's a good position for him because. He was kind of used as a battering ram, but I can see him in the years at the Bronx that he had a bit of a sucky ball play off-road game to him. So maybe playing at 13 will kind of unleash a bit more to his game, but definitely it was a big loss. Congrats to him, bro, because he got some good money to move and nice, a good boys. Opportunity to start.
Finishing out the round for our Sunday is the Dolphins versus Cowboys. I feel a bit Valera looking at this lineup now with my core. But anyway, how do you see this shaking out, Stace, of the Dolphins and Cowboys?
Yeah, both teams actually on paper not pretty decent, eh? So, you know, these Queensland derby is always quite difficult to pick. So I think it's going to be close. And I'll take the Dolphins in a close one. But I do think the Cowboys will end up having the better season. I just think that, you know, Wayne Bennett's good at preparing his teams and that sort of stuff. So I think they'll have them ready. And playing at home as well, I think they'll get it done there. Cool.
And you went Cowboys on this side?
Yeah, bro. Looking at that pack, I think, no disrespect to Bromwich, but he's passed his best. Fletcher was a good boy, but and Lim Willow, you got a nice young up and comer. But I just think on the whole, Cowboys got a outside of McLean, who's, you know, he's been there, done that. But Tom Malolo still got it, and he got these fast, quick feet forwards like Cotter. He's fucking he's elite second rower, and Lukey, he's a bit slept on because they got a few good second rowers around the competition, but surely physically this guy's dominating, man, and he's like he's gonna be a handful, bro. Running off his halves, and we touched on Drinkwater. You know, still some elite players there like Holmes, Taulangi, Dearden's captain, bro. I didn't realise that. I don't know if that's an error, but he's a captain, Dearden. Damn. I want to mention, I'm still going to stay with the Cowboys, but man, I was disappointed that Thomas Mikaele missed out on a bench spot because he turned the game for them when he came on against the Raiders.
Last time we were talking about him, but man, he had an awesome that, in the preseason.
Yeah, they got McIntyre and, forgive me, what's it, Gonga, man, Fine, Fewaki. Who was solid? We don't know much about, I don't know much about the Gonga, but McIntyre, he's up and down prop, like, in terms of, you know, no nonsense, hard worker, but man, I think every team needs that. Like what we saw in Tyrone May with the Roosters, one of them bench players that can come up and make an impact, bro. And that's what the Neff can do, bro. He's got an offloading game. He does his job on, you know, someone who like for 20 minutes, half an hour can come on and change the game. But so commiserations to the Wolves, but he's I'll communicate with him during the week and he's in the reserves, or with the non-playing reserves, but that's a good game, bro. I'm going to go down to, it's at Suncorp Dolphins' other home ground. They're trying to say that's their home ground, but nah, come on, man. You know, we allow you guys to use it when I'm now on our off games, but I think they'll get a big crowd there, man, because there's a lot of, that's like Redcliffe, like northern Brisbane, and there's still a bit of, you know, buzz around town about it, so that's going to be entertaining, bro. I think Cowboys
interesting just to see the bit, you know, those after the 17, like a lot of these names that are kind of sitting on the bench for both teams. We've got Tom Chester, Mikaele, Valame, Jake Clifford all on the bench. And then for the Dolphins, you got Jared Wallace, Averillo, Ewan Aiken, and Katoa as well.
Yeah,
so I don't know if there's a few injuries these guys are carrying, just to be not even in the 17. So, yeah, it's probably a really good game. Probably going to be a real good game to finish out the round.
Yeah. And you think about the Dolphins, they started off really good. I think they were in the top eight for sort of the first third of the season. Then they started picking up a lot of injuries, and then you saw they had that real lack of depth there. So those guys you mentioned there, Tons, you know, Wallace and Averillo and Aiken, you know, it's important to have those guys outside the top 17 because you can't just have 17 guys for, 27 weeks or whatever it is. It's not gonna work. So having a bit of depth there, I think the Dolphins are
better. All right, boys, nice work. Good wrap of the games too. What's your guys, we'll finish out with your game of the round. What are you calling for game of the round?
I'm going to say that last one, bro. Dolphins, Cowboys. You know, like a Queensland Derby, and Suncorp on a Sunday afternoon. Fuck, no better places to be, man. I'm gonna try and get my boy down there, man, and watch a game.
Nice. Yeah, I like Storm Panthers. Two teams which will be, believe they're in the Premiership contenders category. And, you know, Storm's record, which I talked about before, and Panthers, three-time champs, will think they can get that record finished. So that'll be a good game to watch.
Nice, boys. Awesome. Nice wrap. Nice little potty, boys. Thanks for jumping on, Stace. Always good to have you.
No worries.
Cheers, Si. Any last thoughts before we get into it? Going to jump on and watch this game now.
Nah, bro. Nah, thanks for having me on. Really quickly, you know, just online with the Islanders, which is Samoans, man. Let's support our athletes, man. Yeah. It's not dog people, man.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my rant.
Cheers, mate. Oh, you nice. Didn't talk about Paul Kent. I'm not even going to give that guy airtime. I don't know why I said his name. Cut that. I don't want to say his name on my podcast.
What did you thought? You thought he was guilty, mate.
It's just courts, anyway. Mate. Just good lawyers. Yes.
Everyone deserves a chance. Everyone
cheers, boys. Seki, thanks for listening. Tune in. Bozos. Check us out on the website. Tune into all our other podcasts on the wizwiz.net.com. You can find us on all streaming services. Thanks for listening. Catch up.
Wow.
Shop, bro.